Do you know what a menu is? A menu is a list of items that you can or have consumed, right? A menu is something in a restaurant that you can order from. And it records everything at the restaurant. It records everything that would come out of the kitchen, with a design for that, whatever comes out of the kitchen, to be consumed. The tragedy is that many times what is not consumed ends up in the garbage, right? So we don't eat, we don't clean up our plate, whatever, and all of a sudden it just ends up in the garbage. And I wonder about that often as we, spiritually, as we eat what comes out of the kitchen, I wonder how much of it ends up in the garbage because we don't consume it. Maybe it wasn't made the way we can understand or the way we can consume it, so maybe the food wasn't good. And so we cannot eat it. But the menu is that is recorded of everything that comes out of the kitchen that is available for us to consume and get nourishment from. So I have a menu. I call it the sermon recording table. And I have a menu that I've kept track of. You can't really see it too well, perhaps on the screen. But this is out of my three-ring binder. It's the next page that I expect to fill with the menu that has come out of the kitchen here at New Life. Now, across the top, you can see, and probably can't see, but title, it says on the first column, and passage, and then location, date, and then it says preached again, place, and date. And four columns are under that section. Okay, this is one of the pages that I have filled in. This is the menu. This is the last full page in my book of everything that we have comes out of the kitchen and comes to this platform for us to consume. You can see some of the titles that they're there, some of the passages that we've talked about. You can see Tobin spoke on fear, and I have that recorded on the 29th of April. And Mike and the junior hires had a part. I still have my picture of my lighted band that they gave me that day to challenge me to be those that are giving out the light, to be the light. You can see this is the menu that we've had in the last few months here. The first one is January 6th. The final one on that page is the 19th of May. The next page has already been started, and so I've kept track of the menu of what we have consumed or offered up from this kitchen and out to those who may want to eat at this restaurant. Now, I know there's other restaurants, and I know maybe you get sick of food after a while. Maybe you get sick of my food, and so you're going to go find another restaurant. Okay? I don't know if I'm okay with that or not. That's just the way it is. But this is what's been cooked from this kitchen and been brought to us. There's 47 pages now in my record book or in my menu book, so it takes a while to get through them anymore. And it records about 893 plates that have been cooked. I have a record of 893 messages that I have prepared and brought out of the kitchen. I never thought I would reach two. The first time I ever preached, I told Cheryl, that will never happen again. I am never going to do that. She thought I would, and so she spoke that into my life. I think you will. She was right. I was wrong, because it went from there to 893. Okay, in that process of those 893 plates that have been cooked and that are on the menu now, over that course of all those years and all those messages, 10 of those messages have been reproduced, have been spoke again. So 10 of those have a place, a preached again, place and date over in this column. 883 of them have not. 10 of those have, and the majority of those 10 end up from here to another venue somewhere. If I'm at another church or a revival service, or I'm speaking at a men's gathering, or I'm speaking at something else, most of those 10 have been reproduced from here to out there somewhere. So I've taken the platter of food that I've cooked here, and I've recooked that same recipe, so to speak, close to the same recipe. It's never the same. You get a little more salt, a little more pepper, whatever. But for the most part, very similar to the recipe, and I've cooked it here. Now I've cooked it again, and I've taken it somewhere else. Three of those messages have been cooked twice from this platform. I have offered those messages twice from here. Out of the 893, three of those have been brought back to you a second time. The first one that I know of is this, is the prayer cube. It's the Lord's Prayer. You have, many of you, if you've been here for the whole time, probably have two prayer cubes. I've brought that message back. God's really impressed on my heart. You need to cook that plate again. And so if some of you have a large prayer cube and a small prayer cube, and some of you only have a small prayer cube. I have brought that message twice to this platform. Now, again, a little more salt maybe, or a little more pepper, or some red hot or something different. But for the most part, 85-95% the same message that I brought that first day. The second one is this, God comes off the porch, and it's the 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 50. And it says, as you are my lamp, O Lord, the Lord turns my darkness into light. I love that message, and I'm very highly resistant to not start preaching either one of these three messages right now, because these are really impacting my soul over the year, and they just come out of me. And whether they've been preached from this platform twice, in my 893, twice they've been preached from here, they've been proclaimed many, many times in people's lives. When I'm making the promise that I'm taking them, that God's promise is that He'll take your darkness and He'll turn it into light. He'll come off the porch in your situation. That's a powerful passage. The third one that I brought to this platform twice is this one, is the hand of God, the Ezekiel 37 passage. It's when the hand of the Lord was upon me, and Ezekiel said. And He brought me out, and He set me in the middle of a valley, and I saw a good many dry bones. And then He processed through that, and what God was using Ezekiel to do to make a difference in this valley that has dry bones. I would love to preach that message right now again. That just really gets inside of me, that God could do, take the driest, deadest, separated, messed up, backwards, upside down situation, and He can start from one guy being obedient to God. He can start speaking into that situation, and all of a sudden, bone came together. Bone upon bone, tissue started, skin, and then the breath of God was breathed into them. And the final verse says, and they stood up a vast army. I love that passage. That's been here twice and two or three other places. Today, I want to bring a fourth one to you. Because I found myself, over the last month or so, I found myself looking in the rearview mirror sometimes. And I found myself looking at the past and looking behind me. And I think that can be healthy at times. And it's strange for me because I rarely look backwards. Oh, I've had some successes, and I've made my share of failures, and I've had challenges, and I've had great moments in life, and I don't spend a whole lot of time looking backwards. I figured God put the windshield 100 times bigger than the rearview mirror, so I'm going to look out the windshield. And as I wrote the rearview mirror, I wrote it down the review mirror. I said, well, maybe that's true, God. Maybe I just need to review what was back here. So today, I bring a message that's in the rearview mirror. I bring that message because God took me to that message over the last couple of weeks, and He was doing something again in my life with that same message. And I want to proclaim God's faithfulness. I want to thank God. I said, God, I cooked that plate already at New Life. And He says, duh. I know that. But you know what? A dragon burger once in a while or every week doesn't hurt anybody. Hypothetically. So I said, okay, God, I'm bringing that again. I'm cooking that again. If you want to add a little more salt, a little more pepper, and He did over the last couple of weeks as He's preparing this meal for us again. I was reading through this message, and it's from July 5th, 2009. Just so you know, it's 10 years and 16 days ago. You ate If you were here, you ate this food 10 years and 16 days ago. And it's been recooked and re-prepared for us. And the message was entitled this, God Bless Me. It was July 5th. Cheryl was in her second week of chemo and radiation to see if they could do something with the cancer that was in her body. It was trips back and forth to Hershey 25 days in a row. Many of you were on those journeys with her. I was speaking at Mahaffey that year. I preached 14 messages in the month of July in 2009. Cheryl went back and forth 20-some days in July, back and forth to Hershey. We were busy. And I found myself saying, God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. And here I am. I'm pouring out. I'm pouring out, and I'm walking through this valley with my family. And I'm pouring out with 14 times every other day in the month of July. And I need you, God. I need you. God, bless me. I found myself asking God to bless me because I needed him. And through that journey of those weeks or so prior to that, all of a sudden I found myself cooking this meal for us and bringing it and saying, can we ask God to bless us? Is that legal in the Christian realm? Do you ever find yourself, can I really ask God for this? Did you ever find yourself doing that? I'm thankful for those who have their heads going this way. I love you. And I believe the people that I see shaking their heads, no, you can ask God for anything. I need more of you. Because sometimes I think, I wonder if I can really ask God for this. And so as I processed that food, and I wanted it in my own life, and I was consuming it, and I wanted to bring it to us. And I think God wants it back here today. So in my book, in my recording, I'll record this. I'll go back to July 5th, 2009, and I'll write, priest again, and I'll write this date, and then I'll write it in my book again, and it's entitled this, God Bless Me, 2. It's very creative, isn't it? God bless me. I need to be blessed by you, God. And in that passage of those 10 years ago and 16 days, I found myself in Psalm 23, and I found myself reading through Psalm 23, and I found myself bringing that Psalm 23 to us, and I found myself asking this question. If God asks, how can I bless you, how would you respond? Just so you know, that's cut and paste right from the message 10 years and 16 days ago. That ingredient is the same. And if God asks, how can I bless you today? How would you respond? Often I hear people, well, if God would come down here and have coffee with me, I would, and they usually fill in the blank. And just so you know, you would be sucking dirt. Whatever else you think you're going to do with that arrogant attitude in the presence of God, it's wrong. But God, I do think at times, ask us, how can I bless you today? How can I bless you today? And how would you answer that? And how did I answer that? And I wonder if I believe that this morning. Do I believe it, that I can ask God that? And in the 23rd Psalm, he says this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe, really, we read that and we read it on the back of almost the 85% of the funeral stuff? We already say the 23rd Psalm for funerals. I'm good with that, but I think it's more than just a funeral passage. And I wonder if that's true. Do you believe that this morning that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want? And then I find myself, God, why do I feel like I'm in want then? Why do I feel empty right now? What's going on in my life? What's going on that's making this happen, making me have this feeling this morning or this day or this week? And I wonder sometimes if I'm not following the shepherd. And so I go through this is my checklist. So, God, am I going through something and I'm feeling like I'm in want? Because you promised me, God, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. There's a wanting in me, and maybe I'm not following the shepherd, and maybe I do not ask. And maybe I'm just not asking the shepherd to. Maybe he's saying, how can I bless you today? And I'm not answering him. Or I'm just thinking, whatever you think, God. And maybe I don't see the true provision that God is bringing into my life. And I'm asking for something that's not in the store called God. Not that God is Walmart. But maybe I'm asking for something that God says I can't give you. It's not good for you. But how would you respond if God asking, how can I bless you today? How can I bless you this morning? How can I bless you right now? How do we respond? Because the Lord says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. See, a blessing is receiving something that's desirable. Just so you know, there's other words that we can say, needs. Please don't switch that word to a need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in need. That's not what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Now, maybe I have wants and I'm not following the shepherd, granted. And maybe I'm asking for God to fill a want that he's not going to fill because it's not a want he wants me to have. And maybe I have a want that he's not filling because I'm not asking him. And maybe he's filling it with something that I'm completely blind to, and God opened up my eyes because I want to see the true provision that you're bringing into my life. Because the promise is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So again, I ask myself, and I ask myself then, and I ask myself again today, and I ask us again today, if the Lord says, I want to bless you today, how would you respond to that? What would you ask for? Would you ask for a spiritual or here's the new salt. I would call it soul today. I would call it not just spiritual blessing, I would call it soul blessing. So the new ingredient today for this 10 years and 16 days later is soul and is assurance. I would use those words today, but then 10 years ago I used spiritual and faith. And I think if we unpack the 23rd Psalm, as God did in my life and as he did in our lives before, I think we can begin to understand he wants to bless us in four different realms here. He said, would you want a spiritual or a soul blessing this morning? We're going to unpack that a little bit in a few moments. Do you want direction blessing? Do you want a faith or an assurance blessing? Or do you want a temporal blessing? And they're all in there. So don't think it's more righteous to ask for something that's soul blessing if God wants to give you something temporal. Because really, healing is temporal, right? For crying out loud, I hope it is. Because I want to die someday. Because unless I die, I can't sow this body and be raised a new one. I don't want to die today. God's given me the will to live. I think it's abnormal to want to die. But I know healing is a temporal blessing. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus come out again. Guess what? Lazarus did again in the future. He died. Right? It was an amazing blessing. That was one of the, you know, that gets definitely Facebook posted over and over and over. But it was temporal. And so God says, if I want to bless you today and I'm going to leave it up to you, what kind of blessing do you want? And I don't think it's any more righteous or holy to ask for anyone over the other one. It's what God is motivating our heart to ask for. Say, can I bless your soul today? Verse 2 of Psalm 23 says this, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I find that very interesting. I think he wants to do something in our spirit or our soul. And he wants to take you to a place where you can lie down, where there's comfort. There's comfort even though I am in it. There's something about it. Something about the soul being able to lie down in the middle of a trial and a tribulation. What's going on? You should be frantic. Oh, God, I need my soul blessed today because it's going on in my life and I need to lie down. I need to be comforted at this moment. Because if I give in to the whirlwind, I become part of the whirlwind. One thing I've learned over life is drama does not kill drama. When you have drama going on and you run in with more drama, it doesn't put out the drama. It's like running into a fire with a gas can. It doesn't put it out. So I need my soul comforted, God. I need to be lie down in green pastures. I need to lie down. I need to be comforted. I need those green pastures. I need those nourishment that is around me. He made the promise. You follow me, you won't be in want. My soul is in want, God. I need to lay down in those green pastures. I need that nourishment that's around me. I need to be led. I need to be led beside the quiet waters. I need a place of rest and protection, not rushing or stagnant, but quiet, fresh water. The shepherd is promising it. He promised it to me in July of 2009. And today, in this past week or so, he promised it again. I want to comfort you. I want to do something in your soul. And I see the green pastures. And I see the quiet waters. And all of a sudden, I think it's a mirage. And God convinced me that it's not a mirage. It's an oasis. Push the button, please. It's not an hallucination, Ed. It's a sanctuary. What I'm doing is creating a sanctuary in the very middle of your situation. The situation can't push me out of this sanctuary creating moment in your life. Do you want to be blessed in your soul? Because I can create a sanctuary right in the middle of your situation. I can create a sanctuary in the middle of your situation. I can create a place where you can lay down right in the middle of the drama in your life. I can create a place where there's fresh grass, where there's fresh water. I can create that place. It's not an hallucination. It's not a mirage. It's an oasis. It's a sanctuary. It's a place where our soul is touched by the shepherd. I want to feel your want, he says. God, I want to continue to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. And he said, you can't do that. Maybe that's not a good illustration. Back when I was growing up, that was kind of the common thing. You can't just run around wild. Now, wait a minute. I want to bless your soul, but you got to come into the pasture. You got to come into the green. You got to come into the sanctuary because I want your soul to be touched by the shepherd. Because Jesus says this in John. He says this. Push the button, please. The thief comes only to steal, and kill, and destroy. This is Jesus. This is the kind of stuff I think he's going to speak in the sanctuary. But I have come that you may have life. That you may have life and have it to the fullest. Come on into the sanctuary. I want to minister to your soul. I can create this sanctuary right in the middle of the worst drama in your life, the worst situation, the worst tragedy in your life. I can create this sanctuary, and you can hear me say, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I've come that you may have life. I need to touch your soul. So I create a sanctuary where I can touch your soul. Because I don't want those who are following the shepherd to be in want. That you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, just so you know, the shepherd is in the sanctuary with you. Don't you just love that part? A good shepherd laid down his life for you. I died so this sanctuary can be created where your soul can be touched. And I'm meeting you here. I think in an Old Testament way, it would say it this way. Push the button, please. It would say it this way. Do not fear, for I am with you. God's talking here. He's talking to Isaiah in some of the biggest trial in his life. in Israel. And he's saying this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. See, I think if we never get into the sanctuary, we're never really going to hear those words. And our soul is never going to be ministered to. For I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Come into the sanctuary. Let me speak that into your soul. Let me minister to your soul. Let me feel the wants of your soul. Let me stand you up. Do you want to be blessed in your soul today? What do you want? When you get in there, what do you want? What would you ask God? He said, now we're in here, what do you want? Maybe you want to say, God, I want my prayer life to increase. God, I need to be forgiving. I need forgiveness. That's a soul thing. I need to come in here. I need to hear you talk to me. I need forgiveness. I need to forgive. And the only way I'm going to do that is to come into your sanctuary and have you minister to my soul, because I have a heart to pray. I have a heart to forgive. I have a heart to love. I want to be patient, God. My soul is impatient, God. I need to come into the sanctuary. I need to come in to this place where the shepherd can touch my soul and ask you, God, to bless me with patience, to bless me with faithfulness, to bless me with gentleness, to bless me with peace, to bless me with joy. I copied that right out of 10 years and 16 days ago. I still want those things. I want you to minister to my soul, God. He said, I'll bless you. I'll bless your soul. In verse 3, the remainder part of verse 3 in the 23rd Psalm says this, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you want a direction blessing? He guides me in the path of what is right for his name's sake. Do you want direction in your life? God to guide in a path of what is right? Did you ever ask God, what do I want to do? You bless me with this, or you bless me with that. How do I use it, God? I need direction, God. Sometimes I get the blessing and then I do whatever I want with it. I never spend time saying, God, how do I use this? To bring honor and glory to you, God. I need direction, blessing. God, you blessed me. You blessed me. You bless me. How do I use it, God? Because I want to use it to bring honor and glory to your name, God. I want to use this that you brought me through. I want to lift it up. I want to honor you, God, with it. Have we ever sit down and just ask God this question? Push the button, please. God, how can I use my time for your name's sake? How can I use my money? And just so you know, I put my in front of every one of those because God has given you command of that. Now, it's good to remember that it come from him. I'm not going to argue that fact. He's placed some things in our hands, and he wants to bless us with direction of how to use them. And we never really come into that sanctuary where the shepherd could talk to us so that he can direct us where he wants us to use that blessing that he just brought into our life. I wonder if Lazarus spent time saying, Jesus, why did you resurrect me from the dead? Just so you know, I'm really blessed that God gives second chances. How about you? I'm talking, that's the ultimate second chance right there. Being raised from the dead is the ultimate second chance. I wonder if Lazarus ever asks Jesus, what do you want me to do with this life that you just gave me? God, what do I do with my abilities? You've given me abilities. You've given me giftings. God, what do I do with those? How do I honor you with those? You give me a vehicle. You give me a house. You give me tools. Do we ever just get down to the very simple things? God, you give me a kitchen. You give me a house. You give me a car. You give me what? You give me all this. God, you've given me all this. What do I do with it, God? How do I bring honor and glory to your name, God? I need a direction blessing. Often we want to be blessed by God, and then we want to run amok. Verse 4 says this in 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Do you need a faith blessing? Do you need an assurance blessing? You know, I wanted this verse to be somewhere other than in the middle of the 23rd Psalm, just to be honest with you. Because when I'm in following the shepherd, I don't want to go through the valley. But God says life has valleys in it. And I'm not going to prevent you from going through the valleys of life, but I will never leave nor forsake you. I'll walk you through it. Do you need the assurance this morning that God is not going to leave you in the middle of the valley? Don't jump ship. Don't bail at the bottom. God is not bailing on you. Don't bail on him. Hold on. He's going to take you through the valley. Don't get off the train at the bottom. He said, "I will not leave you. I will walk you through the valley. Don't get mad because I didn't prevent it. I never promised that, but I promised that I would walk with you through it." Do you need an assurance blessing this morning? Do you need to come into that sanctuary and say, "God, I just need to know that you're here in the middle of this valley with me. God, I just need to know." Do you need the faith to walk when the circumstances seems to say give up? Just so you know, I took that right out of 10 years and 16 days ago. Because that question was asked in our house. "God, I need you." The circumstances say maybe I need to throw in the towel. I need to know you're in it, God. And I could take another couple hours just to explain to you how God says, "I'm in it, and my rod and my staff, they're there, and they're going to navigate you through this valley." Do you need an assurance blessing this morning? Do you need to see that evil does not get the final win? Do you need to see that God is with you? Do you need to see that his rod and his staff of God is protecting you? Do you need the comfort of knowing God will bring you through? That's a blessing from God. If maybe God's saying today, "How can I bless you?" And you just need to say, "God, I need an assurance blessing today that you're not leaving me in this valley. Take me into the sanctuary where I can hear the voice of the shepherd and just hear you say, 'God, I am not leaving you in this valley.'" Bless me with that today, will you, God? Continuing in the passage, it says this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Just so you know, that is 100% temporal blessing. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be in the presence of your enemy. If it was a heavenly blessing waiting for you, it would not be in the presence of your enemy. Your enemy is seeking to devour whom he may. And God is building a table right in front of us right now with all kinds of earthly blessings on them right now. And God says, "I got temporal blessing after temporal blessing after temporal blessing, and I want to pour them in your life." Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new vehicle. I don't know. But if you got to want and say, "You, God, I'm coming into the sanctuary, and God, I'm going to lay this want before you. And I want to watch you provide for me. God, I want a temporal blessing. I want to be healed, God. I want something on this earth, whatever it is." Cry it out to God. He says, "It's here and now. The blessings are not just for hereafter. They're here now. I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy." And I always like to remember, and he can't do a dang thing about it. It's God set the table. The enemy can't unset the table. We had a lab one time. With one swipe of her tail, she could unset anything. When we moved to Lancaster, she became Mason's dog. He was just a little runt at that time. And she had a tail about that big around and about that long, and she could clear anything with one swoop of her tail. God said, I'm setting a table before you, and nobody can wipe it off. Amen. No one can wipe it off. Amen. I've set it for you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To follow me, not only means that God is present, but also as we follow the shepherd, he blesses us. And the goodness and mercy, what follows us is goodness and mercy. Let me make sense of that. One of Cheryl's treatments 10 years ago, she was in a waiting room waiting for her turn to get zapped with a laser. And there was a guy there, an older guy, a couple older guys, and one had a feeding tube. He was waiting too. And he was having some trouble, and the other guy was just kind of three-quarters grouchy. And he was having some trouble with the situation that he was in, and Cheryl came over and straightened it out and spoke words of encouragement to him and helped him get everything straightened out. And he simply looked up at Cheryl and he says, are you one of us? He couldn't believe that someone who was waiting for treatment could be full of goodness and mercy. I'm telling us, when we follow the shepherd, goodness and mercy will be the wake that we leave. Don't be afraid to ask God to bless you. Whether he wants to bless you with a soul blessing, whether he wants to bless you with a temporal blessing, whether he wants to bless you with direction blessing, or whatever he wants to bless you with an assurance blessing, he's doing that to bless you. And as a result of blessing you, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's beautiful. It's as beautiful today as it was 10 years and 16 days ago. God bless me too. Push the button one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that beautiful? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand with me today. God, I got to be honest today. Sometimes a dragon burger twice in a row is good. Sometimes eating off the same thing off the menu is what you have ordered. And God, so thank you for blessing me 10 years and 16 days ago and every day in between and today. God, I need to be blessed by you. I need that sanctuary that you create, the shepherd creates, that the shepherd could speak into my life and heal my soul and provide for me and give me the assurance that I need and give me the direction that I need. God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Bless me today. Bless us today. Hear our hearts today as we cry out to you. God, I pray that each one in this room today would hear you say today, how can I bless you today? And Father, help us. If we need a soul blessing, help us to cry out for that. If we need a car, help us to cry out for a car. If we need to know how to use what you've blessed us with this great direction, help us to ask you. And Father, if we're in the middle of some of the greatest trial of our life, and we need the assurance this morning that you have not left us in the valley alone, I pray that you would bless us with that today. God, thank you for being a God who doesn't give up on us. Help us not to give up on you. Help us to hear your words today. How can I bless you? And I just thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great day.